Welcome to Akatra Dialogue, a journey through timeless literature. This audio summary had been prepared with the help of Akatra AI. Welcome back, everyone. Today, we're going to dig into a really powerful novel, D.K. Nuro's debut, What Napoleon Could Not Do. It's generated quite a bit of conversation.
It really has.
And for good reason. It takes such an honest, unflinching look at the Ghanaian immigrant experience. You know, not the idealized version, but the reality of duty, ambition, and the complicated price tag attached to chasing the American dream.
Nuro is such an important voice right now. He came out of the Iowa Writers' Workshop, and his style, critics often mention its quiet precision.
Yeah, I've seen that.
And this profound emotional depth. He has this meticulous way of exploring identity, ambition, how families stretch across continents.
And the strains that puts on everything.
Exactly. He really unpacks the psychological weight of it all.
Which brings us to what we want to explore today. The sort of central tension, I think, is this. What happens when a parent's dream, this huge generational ambition, completely dictates a child's life, when the child is basically drafted into fulfilling it?
It's a profound question about agency, isn't it? About finding your own path when one's already been paved or maybe bulldozed for you by family expectation.
Mm-hmm. Inherited ambition versus personal freedom.
And what's so compelling is how Nuro makes this feel universal, this kind of parental pressure. But he roots it so specifically in the context of this, you know, successful, upwardly mobile Ghanaian family.
Okay, so let's start with the architect of this dream, the patriarch of the Age family back in Accra, Wilder. He's not a straightforward villain at all.
No, not at all. He's complex, tragic even in a way, self-made man, clearly successful in Ghana, but he's just utterly consumed by this idea of legacy.
And it's a very particular kind of legacy he's after. Mm-hmm.
It is. It's not about local success. It's measured by something bigger, something he couldn't achieve himself. That's where the title comes in, What Napoleon Could Not Do.
Right.
For Wilder, America isn't just a place. It's this ultimate, almost mythic testing ground. Succeeding there, that's like achieving something even Napoleon, you know, the ultimate conqueror, couldn't manage.
Wow. So conquering America is the benchmark.
It is. And that conviction, that fierce belief, it just shapes everything. It drives his whole plan for his children's future.
You really get the sense he's planned this like a campaign, a long one. And the designated pioneer, the one groomed for this massive undertaking, was his son, Jacob.
Yes, Jacob, the brilliant one, the dutiful son. He's raised with this singular purpose, fulfill dad's American dream.
The pressure must have been immense. The book describes the atmosphere in Accra as just thick with expectation, all focused on him.
And that's where Nuro really highlights the suffocating side of this patriarchal drive. Wilder's love, maybe it's genuine on some level, but it's completely tangled up with control and ambition.
He sees his kids as extensions of himself.
Pretty much. Instruments to achieve his own validation, you could say. Jacob succeeding in America isn't really for Jacob. It's for Wilder's standing, his legacy.
It's heartbreaking, really.
Yeah.
His whole self-worth tied to this one specific outcome from day one. So this master plan is in place, years in the making, and then bang, the turning point. Jacob tries repeatedly, but he can't get a visa.
Denied. And it's not just, you know, a paperwork issue. It's a crushing blow, psychologically massive.
For both of them, presumably.
Oh, absolutely. For Wilder, Jacob suddenly becomes this failed prototype. He didn't just let his father down. He failed the big Napoleon test before even getting to the battlefield. The shame, the inadequacy Jacob feels, it's palpable.
But Wilder doesn't give up on the dream itself.
Not a chance. He's a strategist, remember? The narrative takes this unexpected turn. Jacob's older sister, Belinda, who is sort of secondary in the plan, maybe applying more as a backup, she gets the visa.
Against the odds, almost.
It seems that way. And Wilder, he just pivots. Instantly, all that focus, all that ambition, it just shifts straight onto Belinda. She becomes the family's pioneer now.
The mission continues, just with a different soldier.
Exactly. The goal, the conquest, remains the same, just a different instrument.
And this reversal, Nuro paints her departure so vividly. It's not this happy, celebratory moment.
No, it's described as a somber deployment of a soldier to the front lines. That really captures it, doesn't it?
It does. There's no personal triumph for her.
Yeah.
Just this incredibly heavy weight of duty she now has to carry.
And right there, the story splits. We get these two parallel lives, both quite poignant. Jacob, left in Accra, trying to figure out who he is now that his defined purpose is gone.
Perceived failure hanging over him.
Right. And Belinda, exiled into this success, she never really saw it, burdened by endless obligation in America.
Let's follow Belinda's path first.
Mm-hmm.
She ends up in Virginia working in IT. You mentioned the novel strips away the romance of the immigrant story. How does Neuro do that? What hits hardest?
I think it's the profound sense of isolation. Her life becomes this cycle. It's a sterile corporate work dealing with these subtle, draining moments of racism.
The everyday stuff that wears you down.
Exactly. And just this deep, gnawing loneliness. She sends money home. She's successful by those external metrics. But Neuro makes it crystal clear she gains zero personal freedom.
You mentioned a quote earlier about the prize being a cage.
Yes, something like, she had won the prize, but the prize was just a different kind of cage. It was a cold, quiet room where you worked until you were too tired to feel lonely. It's devastating.
And the connection back home isn't exactly warm and fuzzy, is it? Those phone calls with Wilder.
Oh, they're brutal. They're not father-daughter chats. They are essentially progress reports, financial updates. Everything's scrutinized. Is she making enough, sending enough? Is she staying focused on the mission?
Wow. Even romance is off limits.
Well, she has this brief connection with a man, Farouk. But Wilder immediately sees it as a threat, a distraction. It just shows the extent of his control, treating her emotional life as basically irrelevant to his grand plan.
Okay, let's shift back across the Atlantic. Jacob in Accra. The failed prototype. How does he cope? What does he do now that the American dream door slams shut for him?
He tries to build something else. He gets involved in co-founding a tech startup, which actually shows promise, and he tries to nurture his relationship with Patricia.
So he's trying to move on, create his own life.
He is, but internally it's a real struggle. Every success he has in Ghana feels hollow because it wasn't the success. It wasn't America.
That shadow of what if is always there.
Constantly. And it breeds resentment, understandably, towards his father, of course, but also, sadly, towards Belinda, the one who made it.
But that tech startup, it feels significant, doesn't it? Like maybe it represents a different path forward.
I think it's absolutely crucial. It's a counter-narrative a Neuro offers. This startup isn't looking west for validation. It's focused locally. It's innovative. It's Jacob starting to build value and meaning right there in Ghana.
Kind of dismantling the identity his father tried to impose on him.
Exactly. It suggests that maybe real success, real conquest even, isn't about going somewhere else, but about building something meaningful where you are, challenging that whole idea that success has to flow from the West.
So how does this all resolve? Does Wilder ever see this? Is there a big confrontation? The climax isn't what you might expect, is it?
No, it's not explosive. It's more a series of these quiet, really painful emotional reckonings, mostly through these strained phone calls and messages across the ocean.
The distance makes it harder, maybe more intense.
I think so. Separately, both Jacob and Belinda start to truly grasp the full extent of their father's manipulation, the psychological cost.
And does that shared understanding bring them together?
In a way, yes. That shared experience, that shared trauma under Wilder's ambition, it creates this sort of unspoken bond. They realize they have to stop living for him.
They need to reclaim their own lives.
Precisely. Belinda starts setting boundaries, choosing a path in the U.S. that's maybe smaller, quieter, but hers, prioritizing her own peace. And Jacob, he commits fully to his future in Ghana, finding purpose without needing his father's impossible approval.
Which really speaks to the novel's big themes. First, that idea of the immigrant experience as a kind of false idol.
Completely deconstructed. For Wilder, America was just a symbol, a trophy to be won. Belinda's actual life there shows the reality. Isolation, thankless work, trading freedom for obligation.
And then there's the sibling relationship. Wilder's comparisons drove them apart, but in the end.
Their shared struggle under him kind of forges this quiet reconciliation. They become allies in a sense. But the most powerful theme, I think, is that redefinition of success we talked about with Jacob.
Right. That success isn't one size fits all.
Exactly. It challenges that monolithic idea that success only counts if it happens in certain places or meets certain external criteria. Jacob's journey basically argues that winning by someone else's rules, well, that's its own kind of defeat.
It really forces you to think about what winning even means. Let's talk a bit about how Neuro tells the story. The narrative perspective is key, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. That third-person limited perspective, switching strictly between Jacob and Belinda, it's brilliant.
Why does it work so well?
Because it makes you feel the contrast. You're not just told their worlds are different. You experience it. You shift from the, you know, the heat and bustle and ambition of Accra, even with Jacob's disappointment, to the almost sterile coldness, the efficiency, the loneliness of Belinda's corporate life in America.
Yeah, the difference in atmosphere, in rhythm, in expectation. It's visceral. because you're right there in each of their heads, turn by turn.
And the symbolism. We mentioned America as an idea, but other things stand out too.
Definitely. Even something as mundane as the visa paperwork becomes loaded. It's not just paper. It represents these huge barriers, these deferred dreams, this bureaucratic power.
And the ocean itself.
Neuro uses it beautifully. It's not just physical distance. He talks about it as the gap created by time zones and tax brackets, cultural references and assumed knowledge. They start living in fundamentally different realities,
making true connection almost impossible.
It becomes incredibly difficult.
So what's the feeling you're left with at the end? It's not exactly uplifting, is it?
No, not uplifting in a simple way. There's a profound sense of melancholy, I think, but also deep empathy for both Jacob and Belinda. There are no easy answers, no neat happy endings.
It makes you think.
It really does. It makes you question duty, achievement, parental expectation. It leaves you wondering, how do we separate our own identity from the plans and maybe the unfinished business of the people who came before us? And maybe, going back to the title, the one thing Napoleon couldn't conquer, the one thing Wilder ultimately couldn't either, was the inner life, the free will, the personal happiness of the individuals he tried to command.
That combination of love and control, It just doesn't work in the end. It fails the real test.
A really humane and, I think, essential novel. It challenges us to think about the true cost of chasing validation, doesn't it?
It really does. Perhaps the best legacy isn't forcing a path, but allowing the freedom to find one's own. This conversation ends here. We'll meet again with another unique work of world literature. This audio summary is brought to you by Katra Foundation.